Bible, turn with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the sermon I want to preach to us about this morning, I think could possibly be one of the most serious sermons I've ever preached. Not that they're not all serious, but I don't know about you, but I think there is a great movement that is promoting a counterfeit Christianity within Christian circles today. I won't call it Satan's spiritual substitute. I don't know about y'all, but I have tried some things to lose weight. I don't like a Diet Coke. How about you? I want a real Coke. And it got to be so bad, I had to quit drinking Cokes completely. Because like y'all know, I was about 35 pounds heavier about this time last year. And so I drank a Diet Coke because I wanted one so bad. And at first I drank that counterfeit Coke. That's what it is. And it was nasty. But it was better than no Coke. So I kept drinking it. You know, today I can drink them. Got used to them. Salt substitute. I don't know about y'all. I don't like Mrs. Dash. I want salt. If I can't have salt, I'm going to die because I'm not quitting using salt. But there's a lot of people that use salt substitute to the point that they finally get used to it. Counterfeit money. I read and was looking on this. Do you know how they teach the people who examine money to spot the counterfeit money? They examine real $100 bills. And they study them day in and day out. So if you want to find out what real Christianity is, you have to be exposed to real Christianity. And you may not believe this, beloved, but the Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because there are many false prophets who are out there. Paul said that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And if he does that, is it not surprising that his ministers do the same? And friends, if you are not careful, Satan will give you something that looks spiritual, that seems spiritual, but does not save, does not change, and will not get you into heaven. I want you to read this with me. Paul says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And I want you to read it with me, and then I want to share with you something that God has showed me. This has evolved through the years, but it keeps coming back. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Beloved, believe me, we are in those days. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boasters. That means they'll be braggarts. They'll always be talking about themselves. Proud. That's what produces that. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. That runs rampant within even Christian circles today. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Talking bad about one another without any self-control. He says they'll even become brutal. They'll be despisers of good. They'll be traitors. You won't be able to trust them. They'll betray you. Traitors. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now I can read that and I can say, amen. Look around. And you would say, certainly those who don't know God, those who have no form of godliness, that would describe them. Amen. But listen what he says about him in the next verse. This always disturbs me. Having a form of godliness. These are not people who have no God. This is people who have a form of godliness. They have a spirituality. They have a church somewhere they go to probably. And listen what he says. But they deny his power. And then Paul says, stay away from such men. Listen what he goes on and says. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. These men are people are loaded down with sins, carried away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he gives us an example of two men who were in the Old Testament who resisted the truth. And by that, resisted God's will. And then he says, if you look with me down in verse 10, but you have carefully, Timothy, followed my doctrine, that's my teaching, my manner of life and purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Guys, who we follow is very important. Who we emulate. And Paul says, you've carefully followed my teachings, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose and faith, my long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endure, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. You see, there's a big difference between saying I'm godly and being godly in Christ Jesus. When you're godly in Christ Jesus, you must and have to be under His lordship. If you live and do things that are outside of His word, that goes against His teachings, if He's not Lord, if you're not submitted under Him, no matter how spiritual you may seem to be, you are ungodly. For it's only through Christ that godliness can be made a reality in our life. And listen to what he says. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men, and it hits the worst I want us to focus on, imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and even being deceived. You see, for counterfeits to work, they have to be so good and so real of an imposter that they deceive you. Satan's not going to send people in your life who are openly so opposed to what you really think. You all know Jesus is God's son. You've been around church enough to know what's right and wrong. The Bible is the word of God. He's going to hold the Bible in his hand. He's going to have Jesus written on his life, but he's going to preach you a false gospel. He's going to teach you a false system of salvation, but he's going to make it look close enough to being real that you'll feel spiritual enough to think you're okay. And that's what the devil does. See, the devil doesn't have any power to make you do anything except in his ability to be so cunning and so scheming that he deceives you to do it. He's not like God. He's limited. And he deceives us through darkness and through false teaching to fall for his spiritual substitute. Now I want you to think about this. The great objective of Jesus is to save the lost and see men reconciled and brought into a right relationship with God. Now friend, there's a big difference. You can say I have a relationship with God, but is it a right relationship with God? Are you holy? Are you reconciled? Do you really have communion with God? And day in and day out, you have a relationship where you think about Jesus and you pray and talk to Jesus and you are a product of the Word of God and the Word of God speaks to you and you are controlled and under the influence of Jesus. Or is it just a Sunday thing? Because this is Satan's great objective. To deny the lost world access to Jesus. The last thing Satan wants anybody on this earth to ever do is to meet Jesus Christ. To have an encounter with the living God. He wants you to have anything and everything else that'll make you feel spiritual, make you feel godly, make you think I'm righteous as long as you're not saved by the blood of Jesus and born again and filled with the Spirit. And sealed until the day of redemption, guaranteed going to live with God forever because you're reconciled. See, to stop Jesus from reconciling lost sinners with God, Satan's biggest objective, and he never stops. His chief purpose in existence is to cause people to not ever be reconciled. See, people aren't in heaven today because they're bad. I mean, in hell today because they're bad. We're all bad. People are in heaven today because they got saved and they got reconciled and they got brought back to God and they had a relationship. Jesus said eternal life is this, to know the true God in Jesus Christ and He is sent. In John chapter 17, verse 3. Now I want you to think about this. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous days will come. And he gave us a list of things. They're going to be unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They're going to be lovers of pleasure and not God. All those things, he says, is going to be part of them, but they're still going to have a form of godliness. They're going to say, I love Jesus, but I'm an adulteress. I love Jesus, and I look at pornography 3 or 4 times a week. I love Jesus, and I lie and cheat, and you can't trust me. I'll stab you in the back. I love Jesus, but I don't forgive people. I love Jesus, but not loving everybody's not that important. I love those who will love me. When Jesus said to love your enemy, to love everybody. Now, friends, Satan comes along, and he's the chief imposter. He fakes things. Now, I want you to think about this. He said, evil men and imposters, that's a counterfeiter. He says these people will still have a form of godliness, but because of the fact that it's not real, there's no power. There's no life change. There's no grace. Paul said himself, that that song, Wonderful Matchless Grace of Jesus, Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace that God showed toward me was not in vain. See, grace changes you. And he says they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So they're learning, they're listening about God, they're taking teachings from God, they're hearing things about God, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he said because of that, they have a form of godliness. You know why? They've experienced a counterfeit. What's a counterfeit? It's made in the exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intention to deceive or defraud. Guys, there's nothing more valuable and nothing more important than being reconciled to holy God that created you and being in a real reconciled relationship with Him, and you're right with God. Because when you leave earth, nothing else matters. It don't matter how much money you don't make or didn't make. It don't matter what people say about you, how good you are. What's going to matter is what God says. Was you right with God? Did you have a relationship? And friends, I want you to look at this. Satan's spiritual substitute. You know what Satan does? He gives people Sunday religion without a true daily relationship with God. He'll let you come to church all you want as long as you don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as Sunday's the only time you think about Jesus, he's happy. Because you'll never change as long as Jesus is just a weekend hobby. See, Jesus has to become everything or Jesus will never be anything. He don't give you partial salvation. He saves you completely or he don't save you. He don't just save you on Sunday. He don't just save you from this sin. He saves you from all sin. He don't just save you from these areas in life. He saves you for all of life. He's Lord. And if you make Him Savior, He will begin from that moment in your life to prove and show to you He's Lord. Now, guys, what happens, Sunday religion is what most people today have. They haven't prayed all week. They don't read their Bibles all week. They don't talk to Jesus all week. And Jesus certainly ain't talking to them. And guys, you see, it's your connection to Christ that's what makes you and changes you into His image. And as we abide in Him, He abides in us. And we bear fruit. What fruit? His character. His likeness. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience and kindness and long-suffering and self-control are all the fruit of Jesus' character. Godliness. Righteousness. And if that's not happening in your life, you've been hoodwinked. You've been lied to. You're living a false, counterfeit life. You have a spiritual substitute that the devil's promoting. He loves people to be happy with Sunday church. Entertain us. Make us feel spiritual. Make me get the goosebumps with the good songs and the excited preaching. But I don't change. I'm not planning on obeying it. I'm not going to apply it. I didn't come today for the Word of God, to convict me. I just came hoping that it would make me feel good about myself. Make me feel spiritual. Make me feel okay with all my sin. But do you want the Word of God to make you quit your sin? Because listen, if you encounter Jesus, I promise you, Jesus is going to convict you of your sin. You see, what happens with Satan's spiritual substitute, you have a Sunday relationship, but you don't have a daily relationship with Jesus. That's why you can have a form of godliness. Sunday church without Jesus is a form of godliness. Would you agree with me? So what happens is you've made a confession of faith, but there's no conviction of sin. You got sin in your life that you do all the time. Don't even bother you no more. You don't even think about it. And I'm telling you from personal experience, when you first do it, if you're saved even, oh man, you can be convicted. But you just keep doing it. You quit listening to the Holy Spirit. You quit letting your conscience and your tender heart that God created when He gave you the new heart, when He saved you, not do what God... You see, there's a lot of people tell you today that conviction is sin. Feeling guilty is not right. Philosophy and counselors will tell you that guilt is bad. I'm here to tell you, guilt's what gets you saved. Guilt's what changed. I thank God. My wife said it just the other day. Thank God for His conviction. And you see, a confession of faith in Jesus can't even be real unless first you confess I'm a sinner. And then to walk with Him every day. Your confession means nothing if you live in open, habitual practice of sinfulness. Because Jesus died to deliver us, to set us free. You don't just get to get saved, put Jesus on your life, then live like everybody else and get to go to heaven. That's a false gospel that's been taught in America. Because Jesus, if He's in your life and you're in daily abiding with Him, I don't know about you, but you know what you do when Jesus is convicting you? To keep from being convicted, you get away from Jesus. That's why you don't pray. That's why you don't read the Bible every day. That's why you don't spend a quiet time alone in a spot where it's special for you and Jesus, where Jesus knows that boy there or that woman there is going to be with me tomorrow morning. He's going to spend time with me and I'm going to have time with Him. Because when you spend time with Jesus, I promise you this, He will convict you of your sins. You know why? Because He wants you to become righteous like Him. You see, what happens with Satan's substitute? You're just a spiritual religious person on the weekend. Sunday religion. Church. You confess faith, but you're never convicted of sin enough to confess your sins. You can't even remember the last time, Jesus, forgive me of this. Please help me. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all your sins. But a person who's living the spiritual substitute sins all the time and never says, Jesus, help me. And when you sin a regular sin regularly, I promise you the Holy Spirit's going to point it out and you're going to not just confess, oh, I'm a sinner. You're going to say, God, get this out of my life. God, it's wrong. God, it's breaking my fellowship with You. I'm not in communion. My reconciliation's not experiencing it. Lord, I want to be with You every day in a daily relationship. So I'm confessing this sin. And God will forgive you and cleanse you. You know why? Not to just let you go on. So that you can become righteous. You know what He's wanting to do? He wants you to have godly repentance. You see, Satan's system is, I'm righteous, I go to church, I profess Jesus, I have a form of godliness, but there's no godly repentance. And that righteousness is all about you. I go to church, man, people will tell me sometimes, I hope I'm saved, Brother Marvin. I mean, am I saved? I need assurance. Well, tell me what happened. Well, I walked the aisle, I got baptized, I joined the church, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can be doing all kinds of spiritual things. The greatest proof that you're saved, though, is what God is doing. And God is going to convict you to the point that you turn from sin and turn to Him. Jesus preached a gospel that was repentance and believe. He said, repent and believe the good news. He didn't just say believe. And friends, listen, Satan wants you to be comfortable in your sin. He wants you to not be convicted. He wants you to think that God loves you no matter what, and He does. But he will never leave you that way because he loves you too much. You got kids. Someone who loves their kids corrects their kids. Someone who loves their kids sets boundaries up for their kids. They discipline them kids. The Bible itself says if you are without discipline, you are not his. Ye are illegitimate. And he's going to convict you to the point where you realize my righteousness, I'm not right with God. And you're going to repent. And friends, it's a lifelong exercise. You don't do it one time and I'm in. Friends, listen, what it boils down to, that if you never are convicted of sin and you never repent, you can't remember the last time you were so convicted of the sin in your life that you said, Lord, forgive me, but Lord, just don't forgive me, change me. And there was a repentance, that's a turning, a changing of your heart and your attitude, that you turn from that sin to God. And you said, God, I want to be with you. I want to be right with you. You see, that's what pledging allegiance to Christ is. You make him Lord. But there's tons of people today that play church, and there's no pledging of allegiance to Christ. You see, if you don't pledge allegiance to Christ, he's not Lord. And you see, friends, you can play Sunday church, never have to confess your sin, just confess, I'm a Christian. Man, anybody can wear a Christian shirt. Anybody can put a bumper sticker, I'm a Christian. It's so easy to be a Christian in America that just about anybody can do it. So what you end up with Satan's spiritual substitute, is a spirituality, a form of godliness, but you don't really have a Savior. Because you don't, if he saved you, do you think he's just going to leave you in sin to sin all the time and you never even feel convicted? If he saved you, do you think he's going to just let you feel guilty but never help you and give you grace to set you free and turn you and change your heart to where you repent? He ain't much of a Savior. My Savior doesn't leave me alone till he points out that which he's convicted me for, and he deals with me. And if he has to, he chastens and he corrects me, and he gets my attention to the point I realize I'm not right with him, and it's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't have the joy of your salvation. I don't have the peace beyond understanding. I don't feel like I should when I first got saved. And God says, you can again, son. I'm your Savior. See, I'm a firm believer in the security of the believer. I'll preach to the day I die that Jesus comes back in the perseverance of the saints. But friends, it ain't once saved, always saved. It's if saved, brother, you'll be saved. And friends, listen, if you get the Savior, you're going to get the Lord. He's going to want allegiance. He's going to want you to give him lordship. He's going to want you to obey him. A spirituality that isn't coming from Jesus is a substitute, because Jesus is the one who makes you spiritual. That's why you got to abide in him. He said, if you abide in me, I'm the branch and you're the vine. He said, you will bear much fruit. You'll be spiritual. But guys, listen to this. This is what happens when we take the substitute. We have all kind of spiritual activity, but it never produces any spiritual accomplishments. Doesn't bear fruit. Our life's not even being changed. How are we going to change another? See, that's what a godly profession is. It's a godly profession without any godly power. This shocks people this morning because it shocked me when God showed me. It made me be fearful for the majority of the people I've pastored. Because it's easy to come to church and look like the rest of us. But do you look like the Bible? Because in all honesty, the majority of people in the church today are much more a product of American culture than they are a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're much more like the world than we are holy. And friends, I tell you this because I love you. I want you to think about this. Spiritual activity, the things you're doing for the church, does not prove that your Christian experience is genuine. A lost person can come to church every Sunday. A lost person can give an offering. A lost person can have a position in the church. Friends, I've done had deacons get saved. I've had a pianist and an organist get saved. I've had many people that were in the church for years serving in positions get saved under my preaching, and I ain't nobody. I've heard story after story of preachers that got saved. But friends, listen, true evidence that proves a Christian experience is authentic and biblical must be the things that are you doing with Jesus. If you took church away and everything you do for church and at church was removed, what do you have left in your spiritual experience that is only between you and Jesus? I mean, how much praying do you do with Jesus? How much seeking to hear from Jesus with the Word of God is in your life? How much letting Jesus have control over you and obeying Jesus, listening to Jesus, following Jesus is your life? Because that's what happens when you get saved. Listen to this. Following Jesus will involve us participating in some activities. Yeah, Sunday church attendance. Forsake not the assembling of the brethren. Supporting our church activities. Certainly you ought to do that. Serving our church ministry. Serving and helping the church do the work of ministry. Sharing our church experience. Being a witness. That's all part of it. But listen to this. Doing all these things does not guarantee that I'm saved and following Jesus. I've stood in this pulpit before. I'm saved and wasn't following Jesus. So if I can be saved and preach and not follow, be following Jesus, I promise you, you can be lost and not following and be a church member. Now I want you to think about this. Satan's spiritual substitute. We look at that and we say, man, I ain't never seen it like that. I never had. A lot of people will never tell you this. If we tell them this kind of stuff, they might not come back to our church. I'd rather you leave this church and not be responsible for you going to hell or preach something like this and you get saved. It don't matter how many people comes to church. What matters is how many is going to heaven. Because I want you to think about this. Sunday religion and a confession of faith. A self-righteousness that's not really righteousness. It's not imparted from Jesus and his relationship. So you're really playing church because there's really no true allegiance to his lordship. There's no godly repentance. You aren't turning. You're not changing. Your life's pretty much like it always has been, except you added Jesus to it. You're not convicted of sin. There's all kind of sin in your life that you've gotten used to, just like I've gotten used to Diet Coke. And Diet Coke don't work. You ever seen a skinny person drinking Diet Coke? Not many. And false church don't work. Because if you watch church folk long enough, they always get exposed. Because listen to what Paul said. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. You see, when you got the real thing, the church thing don't impress you. What impresses you is when a man or a woman is in love with Jesus and they talk about Jesus and Jesus is everything. And their life is about Jesus, not church. There's all kind of people that talk more about the church and what all the church has done. And they always tell me about the past and everything about the church and how it used to be and how we used to do it. And they've never once told me what Jesus is doing in their life. I worry about that person. There's nothing wrong with being blessed with the church. But friends, if that's the only blessing you got, you in trouble. You on Diet Coke. When God's got real Coke, the real thing, amen? I've about made up my mind. If I can't drink a real one, I'd rather not have one. But guys, I want you to think about this. You say, well, I just think you're getting carried away. Well, listen to what Jesus said. You want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said the exact same thing I've just taught you in the Sermon on the Mount. He worded it a little different, but I'm going to show you it means the exact same thing. You see, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who makes a confession of faith. Not everyone who has a form of godliness, friends. Not everyone who has a self-righteousness that's nothing but the spiritual substitute of church is going to heaven. Because listen to what Jesus says in the 7th chapter. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide, look at this, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go down by it. What's that broad, the one that many go down? I hear him tell you, it's the spiritual substitute. It's the easy road. It's easy to be churched and religious. Showed up church on Sunday. Just be good enough to be accepted, but don't really be righteous. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go down to me. He says, but because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is that? Look down a little bit further. I've lost my place. I have to get my glasses here in a minute. Help me, Jesus. Verse 21 of chapter 7, look what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, that's a profession, a confession of faith, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father? I've struggled with that verse for a long time. You know what I've come to find out it is? To have a relationship with you where he knows you. You know what kept him out of heaven? Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. I didn't have a relationship with you. You went to church. You were spiritual. You did a lot of good things. Because listen to what he says. Many, look at verse 22, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, preached and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We had spirituality. We had a form of godliness. I mean, we was confessing our faith. We was righteous. We did good things. We was playing church. We was good at it. A lot of people thought we was on our way. What do you mean we can't come in? And this is what Jesus says. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. How sad that some people will sit in a church, go every Sunday, be as religious as a Pharisee, sold out like an Islam Muslim who kneels and does all the things he does, a form of godliness. But they was in a Baptist church. They came, they gave. They was on the roll, but he never knew them. What was the distinguishing characteristic that he used to show them what they were like because they didn't know him? You who practice sin, lawlessness. That's what he says. Look at it. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You who practice a way of life, sinfulness and lawlessness. You're not convicted. You never repent. Because Jesus is not Lord. Friends, I don't know about you. You say, well, he don't have to be Lord to be saved. He said, many's going to call me Lord, Lord. And they're not going to get in. Because it don't matter what you say. It's what's real in your heart. People say, I don't like that kind of preaching. The devil don't like it either. I'm here to tell you today, my friend, this is real serious business. This ain't gathering together just to hug and have fun and go eat together after church, although that's good. And I'm going to eat with Brother Billy after church. Going to Gucci's, amen. Praise Jesus. Didn't even eat no breakfast. But I'm here to tell you this, my friend. When you leave this earth, do you really have a relationship with Jesus? Or are you playing church? Because Satan will give you all of that you want as long as you're not really saved. He's got a whole lot of people going down that broad road, that wide road that's leading to destruction that many go down. The narrow gate, it's so narrow that Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. And no one can come to the Father and go to heaven except through me. A lot of people say, that's so legalistic. That's so unloving. I'm just thankful there is a way. Because in reality, there shouldn't be a way. Because we've all sinned. We've all messed up. But God loves us that he saves us. Then he convicts us. Then he leads us into repentance. The goodness of God leadeth a man into repentance, the Bible says. He's good to you. He's been good to all of us. But is he your Savior? You say, well, how can I make him my Savior? I'm glad you're thinking that. If you want to make him your Savior, it's this easy. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to just have a form of you. I want you. Lord, I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to trust your son, Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I believe he rose again from the dead and that he lives today to intercede on behalf of sinners. And he's drawing people through his Holy Spirit. He's doing that to you right now. Your heart's saying, I know church ain't everything. I don't know if that's me. The Holy Spirit put his finger on you this morning. Your pride Your boasting in yourself and your religious accomplishments will keep you from coming to the Savior. The hardest people to win to Jesus is not sinners who are beaten down and everyone looks at it as a sinner. It's a self-righteous religious Baptist that's been in church. Because he's like, they're going to be shocked. A religious person will be shocked, but a saved man will rejoice. Amen. He'll give glory to God. Ain't nothing better than a lost deacon to get saved. Now, I ain't saying our deacons are lost. I'd rather be a saved peon, never had nothing to do but sweep the floor, clean the church, than to be the pastor and not be right with God and leave here lost. Friends, don't let your position keep you. Today, it's that simple. I'm a sinner. Jesus coming to my life. This is what Jesus is going to tell you to do. He's going to convict you to not only quit sinning, but to repent and follow him. You know what Jesus is going to tell you to do? Profess me before men. That's what baptism is about. It's a public display that Jesus saved me. I'm saved. And now he's going to be my Lord. I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to be baptized in my first step. And I'm going to let his teachings rule my life. And he's going to tell you to come and do that. And he's going to ask you to do it. He's not going to make you do it. You can walk away if you want to. You can leave. You don't have to listen to his invitation. It's an invitation. He gives you the privilege to come, but he never makes you. So as we begin this invitation today, will you come or will you resist? Because sitting there is resisting, friend, whether you believe it is or not. Everywhere around us, there's obvious Americans that are on their way to hell, but there's many in the church that are just right behind them. You can spit in hell and spit on a Baptist, I promise you. You can spit in hell and spit on a Pentecostal and a Methodist and a whole bunch of folks that sat in church their whole life playing patty cake Baptist church, never gave allegiance to Jesus, never was convicted enough to repent and just sinned and looked at anything and done anything. Friends, I can mess up with the best of them, but the thing I love about Jesus, he don't leave me alone. And he won't leave you alone. He loves you. So if you need him today, come to him while you can. Let's stand and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we need you to do what only you can do. I can preach, but only you can convince people to believe the truth. Only you can give faith for a man to publicly say, I want Jesus. And Lord, I know with this many people in here, there's someone who needs you. There's someone who realizes church ain't working. They've been in church, but they ain't changing. They're still struggling. Lord, they don't have to feel guilty. They can be forgiven, and they can be changed through the gift of repentance. Lord, right now, there's someone who would need to come. Would you help them and give them the grace to come as we pray? Father, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, come while you can. As we sing, this part right here is what we all came for. Don't mean nothing if we don't obey. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, resistance is futile. You can reject. You don't have to come. Right now, he's convicting you. Right now, he's showing you to come. You keep rejecting, he'll leave you alone. Every time you reject, your heart gets a little harder. Your conscience becomes more seared. There's nothing more scary in my life than when God ain't convicting me for my sin. And you know what I found? The closer I get to God, the more he shows me my sin. But the more he helps me with it. And so here today, if you feel convicted, thank him. That's him. If he's telling you turn and change, come. Brother James comes today and said, I ain't sure. I come to get saved, Brother Marvin. And he got saved. Ain't nobody that we ain't more happy to have. He helps. He serves. He works for the brotherhood. He's our. But hey, he said, I want to know today. I got the real thing. And I don't know about you. I say he's a man of courage. He's doing the spiritual thing. So you can sit out there. If you need to come, come. That's why we're here. Amen. And so we're going to sing another round. This could be your round if you need to come. Come while you can because he loves you. He's calling you. Amen. I'd beg all day. And if you are under conviction, I pray it get worse. I pray it don't go away. I pray that you ain't go to sleep tonight till you do what you need to do with Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what. Feel better?
Yes.
Was that first step hard?
Yes.
Is it easier now? That release, oh, when you get Jesus and he takes all that out and that heart's freed up, man, that's what life's about. Amen. You say, why did I wait? Brother James, I'm so proud. Brother James is our brotherhood director. You know what? You ain't going to be doing it by yourself no more. You're going to be doing it with Jesus and not for Jesus. And that's what's wrong with the church. Too many of us are doing it for Jesus, and we're supposed to be doing it with Jesus. So I don't know about y'all. Come give this man a hug and let him know how proud you are. I told him you could start revival because revival, when it happens, people get saved that you don't expect because they're everywhere. People need Jesus. So come and give him a hug. We're going to pray for him and get him about 31st. Sound good to you? Baptize you?
I'm tied up.
Tied up. Well, we do it twice. That gets let us baptize again. Amen. Well, God bless you. I tell you what, I'm excited. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to let somebody pray right quick. Let me see. Brother Shelby, you mind dismissing us?